Tapping into Joy, Meridian Tapping and Mindfulness for Depression, a guide to lead you out of the darkness of depression and into the light of your own true self. This is Ben Schwartz, psychotherapist and coach. A trauma can be created in a matter of seconds, and with Meridian Tapping, EFT, it can heal in the same amount of time. So let go of your ideas about deeply ingrained trauma. It's much easier to change than you ever thought possible. The purpose of this book. It is my sincere hope and my intention that this book be a light in the dark for those who are struggling under the weight of depression and related difficulties such as anxiety, low self-esteem, and unresolved traumas. The benefits of learning to use EFT and Meridian Tapping for your own healing journey are many. EFT is empowering. There is no cost to learn the basics. It's versatile in its uses for hundreds of issues, with faster results than most any other psychological healing technique, and is relatively easy to learn. This book is something that you can begin to use immediately. You can practice and experiment with the techniques as you read, or as you listen to this book. I suggest using a journal to help compile your thoughts, and at times throughout the book I give specific suggestions for journaling to help with this process. This is not a requirement. Only use what helps. EFT is a simple, intuitive, and natural self-help tool that can be used casually for anything from a stubbed toe or a headache, or as an approach to alleviating deep emotional issues and even chronic conditions. EFT, Meridian Tapping, is being discovered and utilized by a growing number of experienced psychotherapists and health practitioners worldwide. There are no known risks, and nothing bad will happen if you don't get it right. However, on occasion, when working with a very painful emotional issue, some stronger emotion may surface early in the process of tapping. Staying with the process while you experience these emotions will nearly always allow those emotions to rapidly subside until they are fully resolved. Usually the worst thing that will happen, if you don't apply the technique in the correct way, will be that you simply won't get any noticeable result. At other times, the results may not be known until later. Just be easy with yourself, don't be too serious in your attitude, and try to have some fun as you learn. If at any time in this process you find that the issues that you're working on are too emotionally intense or overwhelming, or you don't feel safe doing this on your own, I strongly recommend that you seek the advice and the guidance of a trained mental health professional who uses Meridian Tapping in their practice. This audiobook and the accompanying manual are a guide for self-help and are not meant to replace any medical treatment that you're receiving from a doctor or a therapist. When in doubt, it is always best to seek the approval and advice of your doctor before using these techniques. What is EFT, Meridian Tapping? Emotional Freedom Techniques, or EFT, is a powerful energy psychology technique that can be easily learned and self-applied for an enormous array of problems. Meridian Tapping Techniques, or MTT, is the more general term that includes EFT and other variations of this healing method that are constantly evolving over time. I'll use the term Meridian Tapping or MTT interchangeably with EFT in this book. It is excellent for depression, as well as virtually any emotional disturbance, phobia, fear, traumatic memory, negative thought, and even for many physical problems, including some chronic problems that may have been unsuccessfully treated for years using all sorts of conventional and alternative methods. Some other issues that EFT has been used for include multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, chronic pain, obsessive-compulsive disorder, panic disorder, phobias, addictions, weight loss, insomnia, trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder, social anxiety, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, migraines, unresolved grief, heartbreak, anger problems, low self-esteem, learning disorders, tic disorders, and much more. These are just a few of the issues that DFT has been used for by hundreds of thousands of people around the world. EFT, MTT, is a method of tapping with your fingertips, on a series of energy points, sometimes called acupressure points, on your body, while focusing on a particular feeling, problem, negative thought, or upsetting memory, in order to neutralize that negative feeling or memory, so that it fades into insignificance. I believe that in the next decade, tapping and related techniques that are sure to evolve from it will be among the first treatment of choice for most psychological or emotional issues, and even for other ailments. These techniques have been gaining acceptance and popularity even among mainstream doctors. Dr. Joseph Mercola of Mercola.com, the largest alternative health website in the world, considers EFT to be the most powerful self-help technique he's ever encountered, and is his first line of treatment for depression in his patients. He very rarely finds it necessary to prescribe an antidepressant since he discovered EFT. Developed into its present form by performance coach and Stanford-trained physicist Gary Craig, EFT has spread across the globe and is gaining respect and popularity among therapists, coaches, personal trainers, athletes, business people, medical doctors, and lay people alike. Beside the fact that it works so miraculously and so quickly, it is also not difficult to learn the basic technique. Even newcomers to this technique usually achieve at least a 50% success rate. That is, they see significant improvement in the areas that they're working on, and this is on their own, without a lot of practice or experience. Beyond that, experience, focus, and artistry all contribute to a higher and higher level of success. This book will provide the tools to help you move to a high level of proficiency and effectiveness using meridian tapping for your own healing from depression. How I became a meridian tapping therapist. As a licensed psychotherapist, I now routinely use meridian tapping with my own therapy clients, as well as using it for myself and my family. But it took me a long time to take it seriously. I first was exposed to the predecessor of EFT, called Thought Field Therapy, or TFT, created by psychologist and energy psychology pioneer Roger Callahan, PhD. This was at a training for therapists in 1998. I have to admit, although I thought it looked too weird and too simple to be a genuine therapeutic technique at the time, it seemed to take all the depth out of having a therapeutic relationship between therapist and client. There seemed to be relatively little dialogue and no need for emotional catharsis. The technique seemed too mechanical and too focused on symptoms. How wrong I was. Not until years later, after starting to learn more about EFT and experimenting with my own friends and then with clients, did I find that it actually worked. And rather than diminishing the depth of the relationship between therapist and client, it actually enhanced it. In fact, it often worked better than anything else I did as a therapist. I now use EFT and meridian tapping with most of my therapy and coaching clients. My clients look forward to it and almost always leave a session feeling much better than when they walked in. In traditional talk therapy, clients often open up emotional subjects and then leave the session feeling unfinished, or even worse than they did before. Clients in regular talk therapy are often told that feeling worse is sometimes necessary before things start to get better. But with EFT and meridian tapping, progress usually happens fast, and pain is relieved immediately in most cases. I found this extremely gratifying, and it has renewed my love for what I do as a therapist. Please note this. EFT and meridian tapping will work even if you don't believe in it. It's not a placebo. One of the miracles of EFT is that it will bypass your unconscious resistance and self-doubt. But it won't work as well if you do it half-heartedly, or if you're very scattered and distracted while you apply the technique. So if you're not sure, wait until you're ready to give it an honest try. Tapping will defy logic, and you don't have to know why it works in order to get results. Introduction: The Principles of Energy Psychology. EFT is based on the fundamental principles of Eastern medicine, much like acupuncture. It is also very compatible with the science of many other Eastern healing modalities. Meridian tapping is one of the most popularly practiced techniques in the rapidly evolving field of energy psychology. Energy psychology works with the body's energy system to relieve pain or stress and achieve a state of health, emotional balance, and peace. The core principle is this: any type of pain, be it physical, emotional, or mental, is the result of a disturbance in your energy field. And there is usually an emotional core within any physical or psychological problem. When the emotional aspect of a chronic problem remains hidden and unrecognized, problems seem to never resolve, or may manifest as a physical pain or condition. The problem isn't the emotion itself, but it's as if the emotional switch is stuck in the on position. In the case of pain or physical injury, the pain button is stuck in the on position. Or you could say there's a sort of static in your electrical signals. The remedy lies in your energetic electrical system. To use a few more electrical analogies, you need to push your restart button. You have to reboot, clear your catch, reset the circuit breaker, so your system can settle back down to its normal, efficient, balanced state, which always feels comfortable, relaxed, peaceful, awake, focused, and just plain good. In fact, the truest happiness flows from this state of inner contentment, and the more we awaken to our natural state, the state of pure beingness, the state of inner stillness, the more blissful we feel. Which is why the following quote is such a wonderful intention for living well: follow your bliss. My favorite quote from Joseph Campbell. What are we really made of? Rather than seeing yourself as a lump of meat, a physical body, it is more accurate to see yourself as a dynamic constellation of energy. Einstein and quantum physicists have discovered at the subatomic level, we literally are made of energy. Our most basic building blocks are constellations of energy, not physical parts at all. Ancient spiritual traditions have known this for eons. In the spiritual teachings of India, it is said that all of what we experience in time and space, all that we perceive with the five senses, is an illusion. Maya, nothing but appearances, like a dream that seems so real we forget we are dreaming. This is more than just a poetic view of life. It's a scientific reality. Modern science is now discovering these same profound truths about matter and energy. Our cells are made of molecules, which are made of clusters of atoms. Atoms are made of electrons, neutrons, and protons, which rotate and spin around one another in an orbit that is mostly space. And those basic subatomic particles are sometimes expressed as matter, and sometimes as waves of energy, depending on whether they're being observed or not. That's right, they actually change in response to being looked at. They only appear to be solid when they're being observed. The consciousness of the observer directly influences the nature of what is being observed. This has been scientifically proven for decades. And maybe this is why when you look for problems, you usually find more problems. Or when you look for solutions, you usually find those too. Seek and ye shall find. In the energy healing field, it is a well-accepted principle that where attention goes, energy flows. Or in other words, energy follows mind. Any disturbance, any pain, is due to a disruption in our energy field, like static interference on the TV when the reception is bad, back when we used to use antennas instead of cable. The trigger that causes the disturbance can be anything, a memory, a person, a smell, a food that you're allergic to, or anything that reminds you of a past traumatic event. The old way. Traditional psychotherapies tend to address these triggers either by analyzing and reconstructing the distorted thought or belief, as in cognitive behavioral therapy, or by re-experiencing the traumatic event and expressing the emotions that come up, or by learning to relax deeply while being exposed to the upsetting trigger until it's not a trigger anymore. That's called systematic desensitization. Or it could be about finding personal meaning in the experience of the original trauma and reframing or redefining what it means to you. All of these techniques can be effective, but can take a long time. At least weeks, if not years of therapy, not to mention medication for depression, anxiety, migraines, and many other symptoms along the way. Enter energy psychology and meridian tapping. In EFT, meridian tapping, there is no need for emotional catharsis. Strong emotions can, and sometimes do, spontaneously arise. And when they do, it's a great sign that big movement is happening. But it need not occur, and often it doesn't. There isn't always a need to go deeply into early childhood wounds, if at all. Sometimes buried emotions will surface and become more intense when you first start to tap. But if you stay with the process, the emotions will nearly always quickly decrease in intensity and finally dissolve as quickly as they appeared. With meridian tapping, there is usually no need for long-term therapy. The whole technique can often be done in a matter of minutes. The majority of psychological and emotional issues can be treated very effectively with EFT and meridian tapping, in a much shorter time span than traditional therapy. In some cases, it's necessary to have a series of sessions and to apply the tapping technique to yourself several times a day between sessions for a period of time. This is especially true when there are multiple past traumas, such as a childhood full of repeated abuse. For very intense or complex traumas, it's advisable to do tapping with the support and guidance of a trained therapist. Working with a licensed therapist is also advised for severe major depression, especially when there are active thoughts of suicide. With meridian tapping, you will usually know when it's working and often feel an immediate change for the better. When the technique works, you will often experience an immediate shift in energy, or a release of tension or emotion, or you'll feel lighter or tingly or energized. It may feel very subtle, but remember that the subtle is the most profound and powerful force. X-rays are subtle energy too, but they go right through physical matter. Thoughts and emotions are also forms of subtle energy. I frequently see people who are crying when they start tapping, and are literally laughing after just a few minutes. There's no clearer sign of progress than that. Occasionally a significant positive shift occurs, but the results are not immediately felt. Sometimes it takes minutes, hours, or even days before it becomes apparent that something has changed for the better. So please don't get discouraged if you sometimes don't know right away. Chapter 1. Basic Tapping Technique, The Mechanics of EFT, Meridian Tapping. Step 1. Settle into the awareness of the symptom or feeling or memory that you want to work on and rate the intensity of it on a 0 to 10 scale, with 10 being the worst discomfort or most intense and zero being none at all. Be sure to rate how it feels now, in this moment, as you focus on the symptom, thought, or memory, not how you felt in the past. Step 2. Using the tips of two fingers, usually the index and middle finger, side by side, you will be tapping gently, about 7 times or so, on various meridian points on your body. You can also tap on someone else for them. There are 2 main parts to the tapping routine. First, the setup phrase, which I'll explain in a little while, which is done while tapping the outside edge of one hand, the point that they call the karate chop point. The second part is tapping on each of the meridian points while saying words or phrases that describe the target symptom or problem that you're working on. First, let's cover the main tapping points. They're easy to find, and you don't have to be as precise as you would if you were doing acupuncture. You can tap on either side of the body, or both if you prefer, but one side is easier. You only have to do one side. Use at least 2 fingertips to cover a tapping area of about the width of a quarter. Usually it's the index and middle finger together. You don't have to tap hard. Use about the same amount of pressure as you would if you were tapping on someone's shoulder to get their attention. Here are the points to tap. Starting with the setup affirmation, which I'll explain in detail in a little while, you will steadily tap the karate chop point on the outside edge of either hand while verbally repeating the affirmation 3 times. Then, while focusing on the symptom you're working on, as you repeat a reminder word or phrase to describe the target symptom, you will tap 5 to 10 times, average of 7 times, on each of the following 8 points. Points are as follows. 1. The inside end of the eyebrow between the eyes, where the eyebrow begins. Number 2. Just behind the outside corner of the eye socket, right on the bone. Number 3. Just under the center of the eye, on the upper part of the cheekbone. Number 4. Under the nose, between the nose and lip. Number 5 is the chin, between the lower lip and the tip of the chin, the indentation above the chin. Number 6 is the collarbone, where the first rib, the collarbone, and the sternum meet. You can find this spot by putting your finger at the base of the U-shaped notch in the collarbone above the breastbone, and then move down 1 inch and over 1 inch to either side. You can also knock on this area gently with all of your knuckles, which is sometimes easier to get the right spot. Number 7 is under your arm, about a hand's width below the armpit for a man. And for a woman, it would be where the bra strap goes around the side of the rib cage. Number 8, the crown of the head. Again, these points are the same on both sides of the body, but you only have to tap on one side. If you'd like, you can even switch, or if you prefer to do both sides at once, you can use 2 hands and you can tap both sides. There are a few other points in the original EFT technique, mainly on the fingers, but I will not go into those here. Most practitioners eliminate them in most cases, and they are rarely necessary for good results. Simpler the better, I say. Okay, we're not done yet. Let's back up to part 1 and outline the whole technique in the proper order now. The setup phrase. This is the first part of the technique before tapping the 8 points. While tapping steadily on the outside edge of the hand, the karate chop point, which is midway along the blade of either hand, say this affirmation phrase out loud with conviction. Even though I have this symptom, fill in the blank for symptom, whatever it is, headache, back pain, sadness, whatever your symptom is. Even though I have this symptom, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Repeat that phrase 3 times, and you can change it as you feel, like so. Even though I have this symptom, I deeply and profoundly accept myself. Even though I have this symptom, I choose to love and accept myself anyway. Even though I have this symptom, I accept all my feelings. Doing this setup phrase first is extremely important. You can get creative and spontaneous with your setup phrase, but the basic elements must be there. Even though I have this symptom, I accept myself. You must include the problem or symptom and either a phrase that has to do with self-acceptance, or alternatively, you can fill in the desired positive outcome, which could simply be the opposite of the problem. More examples of the first half of the setup phrase are as follows. Even though my father left me, even though I feel ashamed, even though I eat when I'm lonely, even though I crave alcohol, even though I'm afraid of failure, even though I have this back pain. When in doubt, the setup phrase should always end with the following words: I deeply and completely accept myself. Another popular variation on the setup phrase is called the choices method. Psychologist and EFT master Patricia Carrington developed this simple and very useful variation for the setup phrase, commonly called the choices method. It can be easily used interchangeably in most any case in place of the second half of the setup phrase. Instead of saying, I deeply and completely accept myself, if that phrase feels awkward, inappropriate, or you just feel resistance to saying, I accept myself, you can instead say what you choose to have, to think, to feel, or to be. Think of it as setting your intention, or programming your subconscious mind to do what you want so that you can successfully heal the issue that you're working on. Here are some examples of the choices method, using the same phrases listed above. Even though my father left me, I choose to accept my feelings. Even though I feel ashamed, I choose to feel calm and confident. Even though I eat when I'm lonely, I choose to feel content and comfortable being alone. Even though I crave alcohol, I choose to feel content and peaceful as I am. Even though I'm afraid of failure, I choose to believe in myself. Even though I have this back pain, I choose to feel strong, relaxed, and comfortable in my back. The possibilities for the words you choose are endless. It's a matter of personal preference and style. Learning to do this well is part of the art of mastering EFT. The more you practice, the more the right words will begin to flow out of you as you tap. Part 2, tapping the points using the reminder phrase. Tapping an average of 7 taps on each point described above. Repeat a reminder phrase to keep the issue conscious in your mind as you go. The following phrases are just my suggestion. You can use whatever occurs to you spontaneously. For this example, let's say that the target symptom is sadness and tearfulness. Tapping the eyebrow, I say these words: I feel sad. Corner of the eye, sadness in my heart. Under the eye, this feeling of sadness in my heart. Under the nose, I can't stop crying. Tapping the chin, deep sadness. The collarbone, sadness in my heart. Under the arm, I feel sad. Crown, never-ending sadness. Now I'm just telling you the location of where to tap as a cue. You don't actually say that in your phrase. Now after tapping those 8 points, take a deep breath and tune into what you're feeling, if anything. Don't try too hard. Just notice anything that's present in this moment. Notice any changes at all in your energy, in your mood, in your thoughts, or your emotions. Don't be attached to the outcome. Try not to have any expectations. Just notice your present state. Next, focus again on the target symptom, which was sadness. Rate its intensity again on a scale from 0 to 10. Don't think too hard about it. Sometimes with people who are not used to identifying their feelings, they go into analytical mode at this point and try to figure out what they think they should be feeling. Just tune into your body. If you feel no change at all, it's okay. Just keep going. Part 3. Repeat. If you get complete elimination of your symptom, you can just stop there and enjoy the results, or move on to another aspect of your depression, or another symptom or issue. But if you get partial resolution of a symptom, say you go from an 8 to a 5, or even down to a 2 or 3, you should do another round. For this round of tapping, start by going back to the initial setup phrase, but this time change the phrase to, "Even though I still have some remaining, I completely love and accept myself." If we're still working on sadness, you would say, "Even though I still have some remaining sadness, I completely love and accept myself." Then as you tap each point, say, "This remaining sadness, this remaining feeling of sadness." Just put in that word, remaining. You can repeat this for several rounds if you want, as long as the number continues to decrease, hopefully to a 0 or a 1. When I'm working with a client, I always try to keep going as long as there's any decrease in the emotional intensity or whatever symptom we're addressing. Even if it comes down by only 1 point, it is something, and it pays to be persistent. This is also true for a symptom that moves, shifts, or changes. For example, a muscle ache in the neck that we're working on may disappear completely from that part of the body, only to move to the shoulder or to the head. This is not a failure, but a clear sign that there's movement towards resolution. Keep going. Gary Craig calls this chasing the pain, and it's extremely effective as long as you don't give up when you're halfway there. If you keep following it, it will almost always eventually dissolve into nothingness. Just don't give up too soon. Don't neglect to rate the intensity level. Always rate the pain or intensity level before and after each round or series of rounds of tapping. Test yourself out by deliberately trying to think or feel the painful memory, thought, or physical symptom that you're working on along the way. This is often the best way to know for sure that you're making progress. Some important tapping tips. Target very specific symptoms whenever possible. Rate your level of pain or the intensity of the symptom on a scale of 0 to 10 before and after each round of EFT. Be persistent. If it doesn't help at first, just do a few more rounds. Try other related symptoms or aspects if you hit a wall. When you do the affirmation setup phrase, say it with sincerity and emotion. If you have trouble, it can be extremely helpful to work with a therapist who's skilled in the use of EFT or meridian tapping. And as they say, try it on everything. Headaches, fatigue, body aches, negative thinking, financial fears, relationship issues. When it hits the spot, you'll be amazed and you'll want to use it more. The need to know how EFT works. The question of how it works comes up for a lot of people. especially analytical types. After getting amazingly successful results with a client, they often start asking, why does it work? How is this possible? There are lots of scientific possibilities for explaining the why, from changes in the brain's neural pathways to soothing the emotional firing in the amygdala, which is the emotional center of the brain, to clearing the energy meridians of the body, to decreasing the stress hormone, cortisol, in the system. We could spend a lot of time debating about why it works. Time better spent just healing the problem and getting on with living. Don't get hung up on why it works. We just love to analyze and question everything. You don't have to know why something works in order for it to work. Do you know how your computer stores and transmits information? Do you know how a radio translates radio waves into music? Or how your telephone works? There are hundreds of things that we rely upon and use all the time without wasting time questioning why they work. When it comes to healing techniques of all kinds, especially those that work on the subtle energy level, we tend to have more doubt and disbelief because the results may seem too intangible. I've personally witnessed astounding success with many of my clients using EFT, and sometimes, after the initial appreciation and amazement, they decide that it must have just been the power of suggestion, the placebo effect, or coincidence, or any number of other factors. This is a phenomenon that happens at times with regular psychotherapy too, attributing the positive change to something different than the thing that actually helped the most. Gary Craig, the originator of EFT, calls this sort of denial the apex effect. We tend to believe in things that are more complicated, lengthy, expensive, and involved. When things are easy or free of charge, we usually don't value them or we question their legitimacy. We are also not accustomed to recognizing the power of subtle forces like energy, chi, prana, or consciousness. These concepts are central to all traditional healing traditions. So I urge you to try this with an open mind. It actually does work even when you have doubt and skepticism about it. But if you don't get immediate results and give up, then you may incorrectly conclude that it doesn't work. Or you may say it works for other people but not for me. If you give up too quickly, you may be robbing yourself of a valuable opportunity for healing. This point bears repeating. It is not your skepticism that causes EFT to fail, but more often a mistake in either the way that you're using the technique or the simple fact that you gave up too quickly. Commit yourself to the process and be persistent, and you are far more likely to get the desired results. Chapter 2. Understanding Depression. Depression can be rooted in a wide variety of factors that are unique to each person. The emotional underpinnings of depression are unique to each person. One person may have an unresolved trauma from years past. Another may have unrelenting feelings of shame and worthlessness. Another may be living their life for someone else and abandoning their own dreams. Another person may be full of unexpressed anger. The problem may also be more physiologically based. It doesn't necessarily matter what the root cause is. Tapping can still help, and research thus far suggests that it can allow for rapid changes in your body chemistry on a physical level too. Doing some journaling or working with a therapist can be an excellent way to identify the feelings and issues that are at the core of the depression. They can then be used as target symptoms for the EFT process. Again, the more specific the symptom that you focus on, whether it's a feeling, body sensation, memory, negative thought, or belief, the better the chance of a good result. More on the underlying roots of depression. Depression is a state of negativity that may include a wide range of symptoms among different people. Mild depression can involve feelings of sadness, hopelessness, helplessness, forgetfulness, poor concentration, sleep problems, eating more or less than usual. Severe or prolonged depression, sometimes clinically diagnosed as major depression, can be extremely debilitating, and at its most severe, it can even cause a sort of frozen or catatonic state, or can involve psychotic symptoms such as delusions and hallucinations. A milder and more prevalent form of depression is called dysthymia, which is a long-term, chronic, but less severe type of depression. If you feel that you've always been a depressed person, then it's likely you fit into this category. Dysthymia tends to originate at an early age, usually through environmental factors, family dysfunction, abuse or neglect, or specific trauma. It is quite consistent over time. You might consider yourself depressed if you have a low period in your life, but clinical depression at its worst is a deeply entrenched state which feels quite beyond your control. In this state, there are accompanying biochemical changes in the brain. Whether brain chemistry causes depression, or depression changes brain chemistry, is another discussion. Both are actually true. For any emotion or thought, there's a change in brain and body chemistry, and a change in the electrical impulses of the nervous system. Fortunately, to effectively use meridian tapping, you don't need to understand any of that. That's one of the reasons I love this technique. It requires no deep or complex intellectual understanding of these matters. Chapter 3. What should I focus on? Mindfulness and presence. When you sit quiet and watch yourself, all kinds of things may come to the surface. Do nothing about them. Don't react to them. As they have come, so will they go, by themselves. All that matters is mindfulness, total awareness of oneself, or rather, of one's mind. That's a quote by Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. The most useful thing you can do is to be where you are. That means, as much as possible, know what you're feeling, accept what you're feeling, be honest about what you're feeling, express what you are feeling, be willing to let go. But this happens automatically when you tap, so don't worry about it. But what about thoughts? Do you need to be aware of your thoughts too? Yes. Being mindful means paying attention to whatever is going on inside and around you, both your inner and outer space. Thoughts are part of that inner space, and your thoughts are extremely powerful. While some symptoms may be intense and painfully obvious to you, most people experience depression on a more subtle level that may be difficult to describe. Hopelessness, helplessness, despair, feeling isolated and alone, feeling unlovable or unworthy, feelings of sadness, shame, guilt, and self-loathing, these are all common aspects of depression. Sometimes it may be difficult to even identify a specific emotion, as all feelings may seem to be numb and beyond conscious awareness when depressed. Some people feel depression on a more physical level, as heaviness, lethargy, foggy-headedness, loss of energy, a sort of dimming of the vision, or tension and contraction in the body. Some people also experience anxiety as an aspect of their depression. Identifying core issues or aspects of your depression is essential. With the process of EFT, identifying the specific core aspects of your depression is an important key to your success. Just tapping on the broad feeling of depression is unlikely to yield any significant results. With the tapping process, the words we use to describe the problem are extremely important. Remember, be specific in your description of each aspect or symptom of your depression, and whenever possible, rate your progress. Any changes in the level of intensity of negative feelings along the way. Doing this makes it easier to be mindful and conscious of what you are thinking and what you are feeling, emotionally as well as physically. Your attention to yourself and your intention to shift your consciousness will help you get the best results from tapping. Two paths to freedom. Focus on present symptoms versus focus on past traumas or emotional memories. In psychotherapy, you will find that some therapists focus more on exploring historical roots of current emotions and behavior, meaning your past, your childhood, your parental relationships, and so on. While other therapists may focus much more on the present moment awareness of mind and body, the mindfulness approach to healing and therapy places the emphasis on the latter. And with meridian tapping, I find this to be a great place to start. However, tapping can be used nicely with either perspective. And to effectively remove specific past traumas, there will need to be some focus on memories. It is likely that you will employ both of these methods in the course of treating your depression. Always focusing on present symptoms, and at times addressing past traumas, erasing old tapes, so to speak. It is fine to trust your intuition, and when I work with a client, I ask them first about the symptoms of their depression, and then I ask if they've had any traumas or losses in their past. In most cases, there is some past loss or trauma. It could be past child abuse, alcoholic parents, divorce, loss of a job, a serious physical illness, or any number of possibilities. Working on the present symptoms, such as foggy headedness, sadness, fatigue, etc., may produce quick relief of these symptoms, but there's a much greater chance of them returning if you don't also work on some of the deeper underlying roots. Past traumas, upsetting memories, and negative programming from your past. If you have a memory of a past event in your life that is vivid, negative, and emotionally intense, painful or uncomfortable to talk about, this is probably a good place to start. These emotional wounds will usually be obvious, so you don't need to go digging for them. If you have old traumas that are hanging around in your consciousness or at the edges of your awareness, thoughts that bring up emotional pain frequently, maybe even daily, then start there. More on this in a bit. First, we'll talk about the fastest approach to alleviating symptoms when you're not connecting your feelings to any specific trauma or event from the past. Number one, quick relief, focusing on present symptoms. If you don't identify any past trauma or painful memory that may be related to your present condition, or aren't ready to do that, then focus on your present symptoms, whatever they are. Ask yourself, what is it that defines this depression? What do I feel emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually? What kind of thoughts are in my mind? What negative beliefs and assumptions are operating? What is it about my current state that I call depression? Try writing down a description of your experience of depression. For example, when I focus on my depression, I feel barren, like a desert. There's a vague feeling of despair, maybe sadness, but no tears. I feel somewhat emotionally numb. I feel a heavy feeling in my body. My arms feel tired and weak. I feel some tension in my shoulders, and my back aches. My field of vision seems narrow. There's a sort of fog all around me. Colors seem dull and lifeless. I don't feel any pleasure in anything I do. I don't feel like I have a purpose. My life has no meaning. My energy's low. I feel like I just want to sleep. And negative self-critical thoughts keep intruding into my mind, like, I'll never get better. I'm worthless. I can't do anything right. This is a description that I'd recommend you put into a journal and use this. Writing it down can bring clarity. So from this description, list the main target symptoms to work on, meaning that you'll be tapping on, and you just break it down by symptoms as follows: despair and sadness, can't cry, emotionally numb, heavy in my body, arms tired and weak, shoulder tension and backache, narrow field of vision, fog all around me. Colors dull and lifeless. I have no meaning or purpose. Low energy, tiredness. Negative self-critical thoughts. Worthlessness, can't do anything right, lost cause. Each of these symptoms listed above can be the target symptom for a round or more of tapping. A sensible shortcut. While it's always a good rule of thumb to do each aspect or symptom separately, there are ways to shorten the process. One of the best ways to do this is to lump together any symptoms that are similar or closely related. When I work with clients, I do this rather intuitively, usually without any real planning, before I start tapping. I've already heard my client describe their symptoms. I'm always sure to ask if they have a mental image and a body sensation that goes with this feeling. This is not essential, but it's very helpful. Then when I start tapping with them, I just close my eyes while imagining the experience of all these symptoms they just described. I don't overthink it, but just let the words come spontaneously, inserting the keywords that my client used to describe their symptoms. I say these words out loud as I tap, and my client repeats and taps along with me. You can do the same thing on your own, but it can be very helpful to write these target symptoms down and these groupings down in your journal before you start tapping in order to keep yourself focused on the most important issues. Some natural groupings taken from the list above are despair and sadness. Those are both sad emotions. Next is emotionally numb and can't cry. Those are blocked kind of emotions. My body's heavy, my shoulders are tense, and my back aches. All of those are body sensations. My arms are weak, I'm tired, and I have low energy. That all is about lack of energy. Next is, I feel surrounded by a fog, colors are dull, and my visual field is narrow. So those are all visual aspects of the experience of depression. And last is negative thoughts. I'm worthless, I'm a hopeless case, I'm a failure. Those are all thoughts or beliefs in the mind. Now remember, before you start your tapping routine, it is usually helpful to rate the level of intensity, pain, or discomfort of each symptom before and after tapping. This can be done both for present symptoms as well as for traumatic or painful memories. In the case of negative thoughts or negative beliefs, you can also rate the believability of your thought. For example, on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is not true and 10 is totally true, how much do you believe the statement, "I'm worthless"? If it feels like a hard, cold fact, then it's a 10. Important tapping tip. When in doubt, always go for the specific symptom. Often less is more. That is, don't try to cram too many different issues into one round of tapping. If you don't get results when grouping similar symptoms together in the same round of tapping, try doing just one at a time, like this aching feeling in my lower back, rather than including various body aches and symptoms together. Number 2, healing the roots of depression. Focusing on past traumas or emotionally charged negative memories. This is a somewhat different process than the simpler approach of focusing on present symptoms. Here, there's a story that you carry in your memory, and the story triggers negative emotions. You live this story in your mind, both consciously and unconsciously, over and over again, each time generating and sustaining a negative mood state, recreating your depression continually and creating a lens or filter that you see yourself and your world through. Because true peace and happiness, your basic natural state, can only be found in the present moment, in no time. It is essential for any deep emotional healing and spiritual awakening that you free your mind from its endless preoccupation with the past. Unresolved past traumas, regrets, losses, and even past concepts of yourself all keep you enslaved and blind to who you really are. EFT is a wonderful way to thoroughly and permanently collapse or neutralize memories that still hold a negative emotional charge. Before starting your tapping routine from this angle, it is important that you try to identify the story. Each scene of this mental movie is a separate aspect to be targeted. As before, don't try to do it all in one round. Break it into segments. One scene should not be much more than a minute long in your mental movie. More on working with past emotional traumas. Narrate the story as you tap. The movie technique. Never underestimate how both large and small traumas from your childhood and throughout your life can influence your present emotional state. Traumas do not have to be catastrophic or even consciously remembered to have a lasting negative effect on your beliefs, emotions, and perceptions. Even small moments of fear, guilt, shame, embarrassment, rejection, and other emotional hurts can stay lodged in your subconscious and have a lifelong effect. The movie technique, originally taught by Gary Craig, is simply a way to narrate a short scene from your memory while you tap through it and tap out any remaining emotional intensity until the memory collapses. That is, it loses its emotional charge. You may find it helpful to use a journal to gather your ideas for the following exercise. Number 1, go through your memories of any times in your life that you experienced a difficult time. You may recall the loss of loved ones, relationship breakups, physical accidents, past abuse, experiences with drugs, alcohol, or other addictions, periods of loneliness, stressful times, frightening experiences of any kind. These experiences almost always leave their mark on us. And if you find yourself depressed now, it's very likely that you will find significant past emotional traumas that are at the root of it. Number two, identify a scene. Give it a name, like shamed by my second grade teacher. And rate the level of emotional intensity or vividness of the memory as you experience now while you think about it. Rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is the most intense. You can do this now and pause the CD if you like. Now the tapping. For the sake of example, I'm going to use a specific example that may not apply to you at all, but it's easier to do it this way just to demonstrate the way to use the technique. So you can modify this to fit your own situation, or you can just tap along with this situation as practice, and you may very well have had experiences similar to this anyway. So I move on to number three. Tap the karate chop point of one hand, steadily tapping, while repeating the setup phrase. Even though my second grade teacher embarrassed me in front of the class, I love and accept myself now. Even though my second grade teacher shamed me and criticized me in front of everyone, I choose to love and accept the child inside me now. Even though my teacher said my work was terrible and I felt so ashamed and embarrassed, I choose to love myself and the 7-year-old child inside me now. Now tapping each point. The eyebrow. I thought I did a good job. Tapping the side of the eye. Then my teacher grabbed my paper and read it out loud to the class. Under the eye. She had a nasty, mocking voice under the nose. She told me I did the whole thing wrong. Chin. She yelled at me for not paying attention. Collarbone. She said I would never amount to anything under the arm. I feel a lump in my throat. Crown. I feel a heavy, crushing feeling in my chest. Now, just one process note here. When I narrate a tapping sequence, remember that when I say collarbone or underarm or crown, I'm just indicating where you're tapping. You don't actually say those words. You just say the sentence that follows. Now, a scene like this usually needs more than one round to complete, so just keep on going around until you've reached the end of the scene. Or until you feel done. For example, if I was to continue tapping again on the same sequence of points, continuing this scene, it might go like this. Tapping the eyebrow. I'm afraid I'm going to start crying in front of everyone. Corner of the eye. I feel like I'm not in my body. My face is flushed. I can't feel my legs. I'm afraid I'm going to wet my pants. I'm scared and embarrassed. She tears the paper up and throws it in the trash. I feel so ashamed and stupid. Now, when you reach the end of the scene, end with tapping on the crown, and then take a full, deep breath into your belly and just be still. Once again, noticing any thoughts, feelings, or sensations in your mind and body. How do you know when a trauma is resolved? Think about the memory scene again and rate the intensity of emotion or vividness again. If it feels neutral, meaning it evokes no negative emotion in your present state, while you actively try to remember it, then you're probably done. When working with a client, I may ask them to tell me the story again, and then I'd carefully watch for any sign of emotion, tearfulness, tension, anxiety, agitation, at any point throughout the story. If any negative emotion arises, we would go through that part of the scene again, addressing that particular emotional aspect associated with it, until it's neutralized. Another good sign that a traumatic memory has been collapsed is when it's very sharp and clear and vivid before tapping, and after tapping, it's gray, grainy, like an old photo, faded, or you can barely even see any of the images in your mind, even when you really try to. Another excellent sign of success is when you get a sudden feeling of relief or freedom, or a sudden cognitive shift, in which you clearly understand what happened to you from a completely new perspective. Here's a real-life case example of a cognitive shift. A client I worked with over the course of several months had severe depression and post-traumatic stress disorder from severe sexual, physical, and emotional abuse that occurred over 30 years ago as a teenager, living with a very sadistic, violent man who was in his 20s and who acted as if he owned her. This was a very severe abuse case, one of the worst I've worked with. And the abuse occurred over a couple of years. There were many different abuse memories, many that still caused her to feel physically sick just to think about these, even years later. We had to break it down into 1 to 2 minute scenes and tap through each one. We were making progress, collapsing one after another memory, reducing the emotional intensity from tens to zeros, until we finally came to a place where we were stuck. The memory was of her boyfriend screaming at her and throwing things at her. We tried several times to collapse it without success. Finally, she remembered the awful sound of breaking glass shattering on the wall in front of her head. When we tapped, while including words to describe the sound of shattering glass, just like that, the sound of shattering glass, the memory faded into nothingness. She smiled and felt tremendous relief. When we were finally all done and the traumatic memories had all faded into insignificance, she said, "I realize now that he was a monster and it wasn't my fault." Of course, she already knew that intellectually, but now she felt the real truth of it, that it really wasn't her fault. And now she was truly free, in mind and body. This was the effortless cognitive shift that was needed, and it was the clearest confirmation that we had completed that chapter. Her depression was gone, and she now experienced a feeling of happiness and emotional freedom that she hadn't felt since she was a young child. More important tapping tips. Whenever possible, speak the words out loud as you tap. Generally, it's better to speak the words out loud as you tap. There's greater focus and intention when we speak out and hear our own voice. Speaking loudly, emotionally, and with intensity often yields better results. This is true whether you're tapping with the guidance of a therapist or tapping on your own. You may feel shy about shouting out all your negative thoughts and feelings with a therapist. It's important to develop a trusting relationship with your therapist so that you can feel comfortable doing this. A good therapist should have no trouble making you feel comfortable expressing yourself while tapping with you. If you're tapping at home, you may want to be alone in the house for this. Feeling distracted and concerned about others hearing you while you tap may disrupt the process. So for those times when you're not alone, you can say the words quietly or even mentally as you tap. When you're alone and ready to do some intense tapping, really let it rip. I recommend yelling, shouting, screaming. Just do not turn this into a session in self-directed anger or self-criticism. The point is to feel your emotions deeply as you tap, so that you can release them more fully. Sometimes just the activity of expressing emotions brings more intense feelings to the surface in a very physical way. Deep emotions are always felt in the body, not in the mind. It may help to imagine that you're venting, yelling, or confessing to some other person or being. Could be a friend, a family member, someone you're angry at, a spiritual guide, an angel, a deceased parent or ancestor, even God or the universe. Sometimes just having an other to express your feelings to can make your feelings seem more genuine. End of part 1.